Baja. More of Acoustic Cafe is on the way after the news on VOA Music Mix.
Despite gains, Obama administration battles Ebola criticism, and Egypt declares state of emergency in Sinai after terror attacks. I'm Bill Michaels reporting from Washington. The Obama administration is touting the recovery of Nina Pham, a nurse who had been infected with Ebola, as evidence the United States is able to deal with the disease on U.S. soil. VOA White House correspondent Luis Ramirez reports.
With congressional elections approaching, President Obama and his Democratic Party are concerned that public fear of the disease and criticism of the government's response to it could mean lost votes. With a new Ebola czar recently named to coordinate the government's response, the administration wasted no time in drawing attention to the positive development of Nina Pham's release on Friday. Still appearing weak after her release from the hospital, the nurse was driven to the White House for pictures with the president, including one showing Mr. Obama giving her a hug. It was a chance for the U.S. leader to demonstrate his confidence that Ebola poses a low risk to Americans. Luis Ramirez, VOA News, at the White House.
Egypt has declared a state of emergency in parts of the Sinai Peninsula and closed down the border crossing into Gaza after two separate terror attacks Friday. A car bomb blew up at an army checkpoint near the town of Al-Arish. Gunmen later attacked troops at another checkpoint. The attacks killed at least 30 soldiers and wounded 25. The U.S. State Department condemned the violence. It says a prosperous Egypt needs security and stability. A young student opened fire inside his high school cafeteria near Seattle, Washington, Friday, killing one fellow student and wounding four others before killing himself. This is VOA News. Turkey's president says Syrian Kurds and Free Syrian Army fighters are joining forces to defend the Syrian border city of Kobani from Islamic State extremist Recep Tayyip Erdogan, who has agreed to allow Syrian fighters to transit through his country, said Friday that a deal had been reached allowing 1,300 moderate Syrian rebels safe passage to the besieged city. However, a leader of a major Syrian Kurdish party told Reuters there is no deal yet. The report quotes Kurdish leaders as saying contacts between the groups have been established, but that no agreement has been reached. Protesters in Hong Kong said they will hold a referendum among themselves Sunday to decide on the future direction of their civil disobedience campaign to achieve full democracy in a semi-autonomous Chinese city. Ivan Broadhead filed this report from Hong Kong.
Protest leaders are vowing to include as many demonstrators as possible in Sunday's vote. Alex Chow, Secretary General of the Federation of Students, says the vote is necessary after students failed to secure any firm concessions on constitutional reform during Tuesday's talks with the government. The vote is likely to contain two motions, one on whether the occupation movement should continue, and the other on whether to accept the government's tentative offer to discuss constitutional reform in time for elections in 2022. Ivan Broadhead, Hong Kong.
In rhetoric reminiscent of the Cold War, Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday denounced the United States for what he said was trying to rule the world. Speaking in the southern Russian city of Sochi, Mr. Putin said the so-called winners of the Cold War have overturned what he called the traditional world order of checks and balances. Instead, the Kremlin leader said Washington is trying to direct the world by unilateral diktat or decree, a favorite term of Moscow's during the Cold War. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says the United States is willing to hold denuclearization talks with North Korea, but not just for the sake of talks. And it's premature to talk about reducing U.S. forces in the Korean Peninsula. Kerry's announcement came after his meetings in Washington with South Korea's foreign minister Friday. Kerry said that before there could be any talks, the U.S. needs to be certain that North Korea is prepared to live up to its obligations and abide by international norms of behavior. So-called six-party talks with the North involving China, the United States, Japan, Russia, and South Korea have had a series of setbacks. The talks produced an agreement in 2005 to provide North Korea with aid. Reporting from Washington, I'm Bill Michaels, and this is VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
In Bosnian, we say, najbolji svjetski izbor muzike na glasu Amerike.
Everybody says the world's best variety, VOA Music Mix.
We're starting the second hour of Acoustic Cafe now. I'm Rob Reinhart. Today we're presenting our in-studio guest in three parts because we spent a full hour with Joe Henry at our in-studio session that we taped live in front of an audience at Americana Fest 2014 at Southern Ground, Nashville. The studio is owned by Zach Brown in Nashville, right at the start of Music Row, as they say. So let's get back to our in-studio visit this week with Joe Henry. One of the notable things about the new album from Joe called Invisible Hour is that all the clarinets and saxophones on the record are done by his son, Levon Henry.
You mentioned Levon, who provides all the woodwinds on the record, doing saxophone, clarinet. It's lovely work.
How old is he?
He just turned 23.
23. Okay, well, I'm asking, I have an 18-year-old jazz trumpet-playing son who just started at conservatory 3 weeks ago.
Fantastic.
There was a moment where music went from being an activity for the child, something that they did, enjoyed, occupied their time, to suddenly you can see it in their eyes and how they approach it. It suddenly becomes a passion that needs to be pursued. So I guess I was wondering if that was his musical path coming to that. Because you had him on an album 5 years ago.
So yeah, he first appeared on Blood from Stars, not insignificantly, but you know, not in the same way that he's a part of the new one. And he probably could have been on an earlier record, but I would never have put him in that position just because it was sweet to do it. I invited him in when he could stand as an equal to anybody in the room and offer you know, a point of view that I couldn't get from anybody else. I mean, he's not just there because he's my boy and I can get him to work for cheap. I can embarrass him into it. He's there because he understands something inherent to what I'm after. In the case of Invisible Hour, it's about, you know, how do you allow something that I wanted to be really kind of folky and in tone and intimate that way to be orchestral and widescreen at moments when it needs to be and never lose that same intimacy. He comes from a very studied jazz background, but he's also very song-oriented. He's deeply obsessed with really early American folk music. And he understands, you know, and respects, you know, song as narrative, you know, song as an autonomous statement. And he knows how to abstract it when it needs to be abstracted. He knows how to thread a melody through it when it needs to be romantic in that sort of way. I don't know anybody else who could do that, actually.
You say that you waited until he could hold his own with everybody in the room. We should point out, that's Jay Belarose, that's Greg Lees, that's Patrick Warren. These top players in the world. Is he writing, too?
He is.
There's a little pressure. So.
Well, I mean, what he writes is distinctly different than what I do. I mean, his instrumental music, which is deeply moving to me, it's like folk music played in an orchestral setting. But he's also started to write songs with words, you know, from a guitar. You'd have to ask him if that's daunting. I don't really imagine that he's daunted by it.
Okay. He seems to be enjoying the process, though.
He's appropriately terrorized by it. Most people that I know who write really love having written and find writing to be, a threat to some kind of sanity and peace in the household. I don't find it that way exactly, but I know plenty of people who do.
Yeah. I saw Willie Mays at a Scottsdale Home Depot, looking at garage door springs at the far end of the 14th row. His wife stood there beside him. She was quiet and they both were proud. I gave him room but was close enough that I heard him when he said out loud, "This was my country, and this was my song. Somewhere in the middle there, though it started badly and it's ending wrong, this was my country, this frightful and this angry land, but it it's my right, if the worst of it might still somehow make me a better man. The sun is unforgiving and there's nobody would choose this town, but we've squandered so much of our goodwill that there's nowhere else will have us now. We push in line at the picture show for cool air and a chance to see a vision of ourselves portrayed as younger and braver and humble and free. This was our country and this was our song. Somewhere in the middle there, though it started badly and it's ending wrong, this was my country, this frightful and this angry land. But it's my right if the worst of it might still somehow make me a better man. Started something I can't finish, and I barely leave the house, it's true. I keep a wrap on my sores and joints, but yes, I've had my blessings too. I've got my mother's pretty feet, and a factory keeps our yard in shade. My children, they both been paroled, and we get by on the peace we've made. I feel safe so far from heaven, from towers and their ocean views. From here I see a future coming across what soon may be beaches too. But that was him, I'm almost sure, the greatest center fielder of all time, stooped by the burden of endless dreams, his and yours and mine. He hooked each spring beneath his foot, he leaned over and he stood upright, testing each against his weight for one that had some play and some fight. He's just like us, I want to tell him, and our needs are small enough. Something to slow a heavy door, something to help us raise one up. This was my country and this was my song. Somewhere in the middle there, though it started badly and it's ending wrong, this was God's country, this frightful and this angry land. But if it's his will, the worst of it might still somehow make me a better man. If it's his will, the worst of it might still somehow make me a better man.
A
originally from the album in 2007 called Civilians. That's our song. From our in-studio guest this week, Joe Henry, taped in front of a live audience in Nashville at Americana Fest.
I do want to ask you about Joe Henry, producer. I get a sense, correct me if I'm wrong, that when you go into a project as producer, you're doing so because you're probably going to learn something huge, even more so than helping to guide somebody through the process, but that you're going to learn something coming out the other side, no matter who.
Well, I always do. Yeah. I mean, you know, what I glean from being in service to anybody else is invaluable to what I can bring back to my own work. You know, being able to step out of it and have a bit of more of an aerial view. You know, when I'm working for somebody else as a producer, I always feel that I have this perfect remove where I'm, you know, fully invested in the process, but my persona, or however I might perceive my artistic persona, does not sit in the middle of it.
I'm almost hearing kind of a reverse of what we started talking about with, as an artist, as a writer, feeling now chin deep in the middle of a lake. That would be anathema to the production process, where people are looking to you for guidance and direction. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's almost, as time's going on, you're feeling more and more comfortable in that role. Whereas in the other role, it's you're feeling less and less familiar with what it is around.
I'm not less and less comfortable. I'm perfectly satisfied on my own behalf. For things to be as chaotic as the songs need them to be. It's harder to impose that on somebody else, and I feel like I've lost a lot of production jobs. You know, if I take a meeting and somebody says they're going to go back and listen to my work, and I just say, well, that'll be the end of this, because if you go back and listen to what I do for myself, I'll never hear from you again. My goal as a producer is not to help anybody do what I would do if I was them. My goal is to help them do what they're trying to do as best as they can do it. I mean, that's the whole job. I'm giving away the whole store right now. That's the job as a producer, is to do whatever you have to do to make somebody in the room feel fearless, because if they do, they'll give you everything. There's no other part of the job, really. Serve really good coffee if possible.
Right.
T-Bone Burnett is my professional godfather. He's been in my musical life since I first made a demo cassette, you know, in 1983 in my apartment in Ann Arbor. And I naively sent it to him, to T-Bone Burnett in care of Warner Brother Records, Burbank, California. This would, you know, and he wrote me back a beautiful handwritten letter saying, you know, I've lost your note. I'm not really sure what you need from me, but I think this is great and you should keep going. And it turns out that's all I needed from him, was to know that I was affirmed, that I could reach outside of my small world and be heard in some way. I have a friend who has said to me on a couple of occasions, you know, singers really love you. Singers do things for you that they don't do on any of their other records. You know, what's your secret? And I say, I sit on the floor outside of the vocal booth in my studio so they can see me. That's my secret. People can see that I'm listening. They open a vein. I mean, they just do.
Yeah.
It's old as time.
A dog-eared mind sniffed my heart like a pocket full of German marks. Long after the war was through, stood me on a rusted rail, turned my face and kicked my tail up towards the yonder blue. Threw a fish up on the bank. I watched him dance from the air he drank. And then my hunger knew that sparks will fly around my head when I stir coals down in my bed. Like I was walking back to you. Well, time slips out the leaning fence that lost the border ever since. Our beloved war took to the road with caravans and mockingbirds and painted girls with twisted words whose knees and ankles showed. Now I sit and watch the failing moon, the shower stars and coming soon. The whole thing will look new when blessedly I will forget the ways of God and all regret. Like I was walking back, like I was walking back, I thought I heard somebody say, tow that barge. I thought I heard somebody say, lift that bale. Well, I drank a lot of liquor and I land in jail. But that old man river, he just keeps walking on back to you.
Song from that album called Reverie, that is After the War. Our in-studio guest on the program this week is Joe Henry, and we'll have our third segment with Joe, including an audience question or two from our live session that we did with Joe at Americana Fest 2014 a few weeks ago in Nashville, Tennessee. And ahead, Minnie covering Stevie, Field Report, Mellencamp, and Valerie June live here.
If it's true that music makes the brain work better,
we've got enough to make you a genius.
VOA Music Mix.
Just prior to his health deteriorating for the last time, Bob Marley was doing some touring with Stevie Wonder. And in 1980, Stevie released this song called Master Blaster as an homage to Marley, who would die in 1981. It was the first single from Stevie's album Hotter Than July. Actress Minnie Driver was just 10 when the song came out, still years away from acting, let alone music. She was a dancer at age 10, and Master Blaster was the first bit of choreography she had to learn. In the 35 years since, she's gone on to have a successful career as an actress and songwriter, and now has put out an album of covers called Ask Me to Dance. Along with her guitarist Mark Noseworthy, they created this very different minor key version of this Stevie hit on Acoustic Cafe.
Everyone's feeling pretty. It's hotter than July. Though the world's full of problems, they couldn't touch us even if they tried. From the park, I hear rhythm. Molly's hot on the box. Tonight there'll be a party at the corner at the end of the block. I didn't know you. Be charming until the break. Happy, am I answer today? vision together. Join them, children, and I. When you're moving in the positive, your destination is your brightest star. Didn't know you. Be jamming until the break of dawn. Nobody ever told me that you. Be jamming until the break of dawn. Jamming. Whoa. Whoa.
Plain Spoken. This is brand new from John Mellencamp, the first album of new Mellencamp originals in 5 years. He recorded this, as he does always, in Indiana, in his home studio. Had 85 songs to choose from going into the project. T-Bone Burnett is the executive producer on the album. Helped him sort it all out. Before that, a cover of a 1980 song from Stevie Wonder called Master Blaster. In the hands now of Minnie Driver. That is from a new covers collection that Minnie's just released called Ask Me to Dance. The band Field Report has released their second album. Field Report is actually Chris Porterfield and his band, which expanded to some 7 members after the release of their debut album. But Porterfield honed it down to a quartet for the recording of the new one, Marigolden. Let's listen to this song called Cups and Cups from Field Report on Acoustic Cafe.
I got love that brings me home. Got no need to terraform. Tried to guide by the stars, but I took them too far to the river that the ancient ice sheets bone. And I came to with fruit flesh in my cheek, skin stuck in my front teeth. And the scales dropped off as the sun came up, and I knew that I could never go back to not knowing. My jacket and my pants and my boots, and all my love was damned up in you. And with my nose pressed in your hair, I could smell 7 cents of danger preservation in the air. And I got 4 kinds of love, but the one I'm thinking of is all 4 directions.
Thank you. blocking my phone. But I can't find it nowhere. And I'm sad. Well, I borrowed time and ain't got it done. Peter PayPal. Oh, still I hear the whistleblower saying you can get through it all. But I was young with all the sail elephant down the mound. And everything I thought I knew, 'twas a lie twined and twisted true. Oh, and I got no peace in this world. Sacrifice. Sack of bam, 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 by steel I roam. But I was running from my family, drifting from my home. But I was thinking not of dwelling, thinking on bam, 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 Bastille. Right, saying I got no place in the soul. Sack of bam, 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 Bastille. And I got no place in the soul.
The two fashion statements at the Americana Fest award show this year in Nashville, one of them was Valerie June with her trademark hair and her bright yellow dress. That's Valerie June live in our studios doing the song called Twined and Twisted. The other fashion statement, by the way, had to be the big purple ball gown worn by Loretta Lynn and opening the Americana Fest award show. Speaking of Americana Fest, we are going to listen to our final bit with our in-studio guest, taped live at Southern Ground Nashville. It'll be Joe Henry in just a moment.
Picking you up and making you feel good.
The world's best variety.
VOA Music Mix.
You're listening to Acoustic Cafe. I'm Rob Reinhart. And it's time now for our final piece with our in-studio guest this week on the show. That would be songwriter, producer, author, and all-around Americana Renaissance man, Joe Henry. We taped our session with Joe in front of an audience at Americana Fest 2014. We did this on September 18th at Southern Ground Studios in Nashville. One of the things we talked about was something new that Joe had produced, which just came out in August, an album called Look Again to the Wind, Johnny Cash's Bitter Tears Revisited. 50 years after the release of the Bitter Tears album, Joe and many great guests recreated the album and added a bit as well. The album was vastly controversial when it was released in 1964. It was the songs of Peter LaFarge as well as some songs from Johnny Cash. They were folk songs about the mistreatment of Native Americans at the hands of the American government. A very controversial thing for a country artist to be doing in 1964. Let's play one of those songs as reimagined by Steve Earle. As produced by Joe Henry, the song is called Custer on Acoustic Cafe.
Now I will tell you, Buster, that I ain't a fan of Custer, and the general, he don't ride well anymore. Now to some he was a hero, but to me his score was zero, and the driving without too much exciting, and the general, he don't ride well anymore. Yeah, General Custer come in pumping when the men were out a hunting, and the general, he don't ride well anymore. With victories he was swimming, he killed children, dogs and women, and the general, he don't ride well anymore. Yeah, crazy horse and out the call, Sitting Bull and Gaul, and the general, he don't ride here anymore. Now Custer split his men, well, he won't do that again, and the general, he don't ride well anymore. 12,000 warriors waited, they were unanticipated, and the general, he don't ride well anymore. It ain't called an Indian victory, but a bloody massacre, and the general, he don't ride well anymore. There might have been more enthusing, but the Indians had been losing, but the general, he don't ride there anymore.
Peter LaFarge. It's called Custer, and it comes from the controversial album in 1964 from Johnny Cash called Bitter Tears. The version we heard was Steve Earle doing it on a recreation of Bitter Tears called Look Again to the Wind, Johnny Cash's Bitter Tears Revisited. And that was produced and largely envisioned by our in-studio guest this week, taped at Americana Fest, Joe Henry.
Johnny Cash was the first conscious musical hero of my life. I mean, I remember sort of hearing him And Ray Charles sort of in tandem when I was a boy of about, I would say I was no older than seven and living in Atlanta. When I saw Johnny Cash, and I used to watch his TV show, and I obsessed over him. As a really young person, I didn't look at Johnny Cash and say, I want to go where he's going. I looked at him and I said, that's who I am. It was a recognition of my tribe. You know, I saw in him and in Ray Charles in particular something that I just instinctively understood was telling me something about my identity. So here we are, how many years, you know, 50 years later, from the Bitter Tears record. And when I was asked to take it on, because I knew for a fact that throughout the rest of his life, Johnny felt that that record was never fully realized. It was never heard the way he intended it to be heard. It was actually worse than controversial. It was ignored at a point. I'm a very close friend of his daughter, Roseanne, and not just a professional friend, but I mean, she's a dear sister to me, and she is very cautious about how she engages her father's legacy. And I knew I didn't, you know, need her permission to take the job, but I asked her for it anyway. I mean, I flew to New York to meet with the head of Sony Masterworks about the project, and I went to her house first, and we went out for coffee, and I just said, you know, I'm asking you to tell me that it's okay I do this, because if you don't think I should, I'm not going to. Even though I could really use the work. No, I really wanted to take it on, but I was really cautious about, you know, what does it mean? I mean, I have issues all the time with the way in which, you know, any of us take up someone else's work. I was really concerned that any of us who might enter into it were doing it for the right reasons and were allowed to see it through in the right way.
This album is fairly new, so a lot of people in the room may not be familiar with what we're talking about. But Brandon has a clip, which I'd like you to listen to, folks, here for the next about 90 seconds.
Wagon train rolling along, they fade from my vision, and in time will be gone. I see an eagle in space,
my people will follow vanishing rays.
Indian brave rolled along one day on a lonely mountain trail, and he gazed below with a heart of woe where the prairie schooner sailed. A vision formed like a mortal storm in the dust of the wagon train. A vanishing race appeared in space, and he sang his sad refrain.
Mm-hmm. So from 50 years ago, that's a song called The Vanishing Race, which we heard the Johnny Cash original, and then Rhiannon Giddens from Carolina Chocolate Drops doing the reimagined version. So if you could speak to how you wanted to cast the album. So Kris Kristofferson's on here. That connects you directly back to that era. Norman Blake is on here. He was on the original 50 years ago.
Last Man Alive, who was last on the original standing album. Yeah.
Steve Earle does a great turn. Emmylou Harris, Milk Carton Kids.
Gillian Welch and David Rawlings.
Sure, of course.
We recorded the whole thing in 3.5 days, but I spent 11 months trying to fit the puzzle together. And I was really thinking a lot about, you know, how does this fit together as a puzzle? You want it to be, you know, sprawling enough and broad enough in its reach to encompass really different artistic voices, and yet something that would really play together like an album. And I really wanted to work only with people who were willing to really collaborate, not anybody who says, send me a track and I'll put my voice on it, but people who are willing to show up and take the lead on something. I mean, like, I mean, Gil and Dave, you know, for example, and their prime example, they're on, you know, 7 of the 10 or 11 songs of the record. You know, they sing lead, I mean, you know, on the opening track, and then they, you know, they play behind Rhiannon. They're part of the band with Chris. They're playing with Norman and Nancy. It was really important for me to blur the lines of participation as much as possible. I just thought it was appropriate to the material and to the concept of an album, actually playing like a statement, playing like a movie.
Gillian Welch, David Rawlings, Nancy Blake. From Look Again to the Wind, Johnny Cash's Bitter Tears Revisited, which was recreating that 50-year-old album from Johnny Cash. The guy who envisioned this and brought all the musicians together, our in-studio guest this week, Joe Henry. We taped our session with Joe live at Americana Fest in Nashville. And one of the great things about having a live audience, you get to take questions from the audience.
What is your name?
My name is Brian. One of the albums that you produced back in, I think, 2002 was the great Solomon Burke. And there was a lot of wonderful songwriters that contributed songs to that album and studio musicians. I'm just curious how that all came about, how all those pieces came to fit that puzzle.
It was a complete shock to me. My publisher at the time was a beautiful Scottish man, and he says, hey, Joey, would you want to produce Solomon Burke? And I thought it was sort of like a personality quiz. Like, you know, would you sleep with Rita Hayworth if you were absolutely sure your wife would never find out? Just, you know. Because frankly, I thought he was dead. And I said, well, sure, who wouldn't? And he said, well, you're going to get a call in a couple hours from Anti Records. They're going to do a record with Solomon. They want to talk to you. When I had the first conversation, I knew that Ry Cooder wanted to produce it. I knew Robbie Robertson wanted to produce it. I was the least likely person that they were talking to. And as such, I just said what I thought, because I didn't really think I had a chance at the gig. I just said, I think your idea is really good. I hope you don't lose your nerve. And it begat another conversation and then another one. And next thing I know, I'm sitting in a diner in the valley in California across from Solomon Burke. He probably weighed about 410 pounds at the time, and he was on an imposed diet, and he was living vicariously through other people. And I sat down and I ordered pork chop and eggs. And he said, I hope this is what you were asking me. he said, Dr. Henry, he called me Dr. Henry for some reason, are you going to have biscuits with that? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, you're hired.
Uh,
That's the only time we ever talked about it. But as far as like collecting songs, you know, the concept has always been to ask people of note who we believe to be fans of his to write something for him or to contribute something that was unreleased specifically for this record. And we were shocked by everybody's response.
We have time for one more.
You're known for your interest in vintage guitars and good contemporary guitars. What do you look for as a performer in a guitar?
It has to look good on me.
Well, it does,
some people who are really great players can play anything. I need a guitar that will stand out in front of me like a World Wrestling Federation belt buckle and say something. Quite honestly, I mean, I love the guitar. It's a very romantic thing to do, to play a guitar, especially an acoustic guitar. I want a guitar that rumbles. So something really old and lightly built. I'm an obsessive, you know, about just about anything that I care about, and guitars included.
I want to thank you for your time today.
Oh.
And how about one more song? What do you think, folks?
Yeah? Thank you.
We could do one more.
So thanks very much, everybody. He hears the color of your sigh, tastes the laugh upon your thigh, then roars. But let this be clear. Dear, I want nothing more than for you to see me now. There's red iron in the sliding clay, it stains our knees and it points the way for bloodlusty angels looking to rumble in town. But let this be clear, my sliding bombardier, I want nothing more than for you to find me now. Here's how I'm leaning word for word, and no matter what you think you heard, when I say bird, I mean a bird, no less and not more. But let this be clear, my leaning auctioneer, I want nothing more than for you to raise me now. I'm thirsting after righteous gloom, with daylight streaming in this room, and the loss of love one day soon may bear me out and away. But let this be clear, my
volunteer. I want nothing more than for you to hear me now. I want nothing more than for you to hear me now.
Thank you. Joe Henry.
Thanks very much.
Our in-studio guest on the show this week is Joe Henry, taped in front of a live audience at Southern Ground, Nashville. That is a song called Plain Speak. It comes from Joe's album, which is his latest, called Invisible Hour. You will find that on Joe's own Work Song Records label. And so many thanks to everybody who made this all happen down at Americana Fest this year, our session with Joe Henry, our session with Leanne Womack. That would be the folks at Southern Ground Nashville, the studio that we used for both of those sessions. Many thanks to Ben Simonetti and Brandon Bell there, as well as Michelle Aquilotto and, of course, Jed Hilly from the Americana Music Association. And thanks again to Joe Henry for spending time with us at Americana Fest 2014. You can find all of this material in our archives and so much more at acafe.com, acafe.com. Also see some pictures from Americana Fest in our Instagram feed, as well as links to our Twitter and our Facebook, all of that at acafe.com. You can also sign up for our weekly e-newsletter if you'd like by leaving your email address in the box on the main page. Every Monday morning, we send out an email that has our playlist in it, and it also has some news and notes about what's going on around Acoustic Cafe, as well as a musical suggestion or two. If you would like to receive that, again, simply go to acafe.com and leave your email address in the box on the main page. And we'll be back in a moment here to wrap things up and tell you all about what's happening next week.
You've been begging for more variety.
Input noted.
VOA Music Mix.
Next time on Acoustic Cafe, join us for new music from Ani DeFranco. First in a long time from her. Also, John Mellencamp, Hozier, Leanne Womack from Americana Fest, and our in-studio guest for the week at the Leon Loft will be Jamie Scott from the band Graffiti 6. Many thanks to those making the show possible this time out. Capitol Records, where Bob Seger's new album has been released. It's called Ride Out. Find out more about the album and upcoming tour dates at bobseger.com. Leon Speakers and the Leon Loft. You can find out more about both at leonspeakers.com. As well as the International Acoustic Music Awards, the 11th annual competition is going on right now. And if you want to find out more about entry, inacoustic.com. We're a copyrighted production of RDR Radio. Writing and production help from Susan Barnes. Ani DeFranco wrote and performed our theme, The Million Dollar Intro. And Ed Magnus picked the biggest and the bestest. Till next time, I'm your host, Rob Reinhart. Have a great week.